Hey, AJ, if we lived in Star Wars world and, like, I was a kid and the Jedi took me away because I was Force-sensitive for Jedi training and you didn't get to come, would you be jealous?
I guess so.
Suck it down, Daikatana. Hello and welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for August 20th, 2010. This is Mike Minotti, everybody. I'm joined by my brother, Edge Guy.
Hello.
And from across the pond, our good friend, Pete Davison.
Hello, everybody.
It's really more of an ocean than a pond, though, isn't it?
Yes, it sure is.
But that's something people say, right?
That's right. It's something of a saying, going across the pond.
Cool. Oh, welcome to our show, everybody.
I'm just shaking my head. Keep going.
Yeah, okay. I'm sorry. I'm stumbling a little bit here now. You see, what happened was this is the second time we're doing this, so we're repeating things, which makes it funny for us.
It's just
but you have no idea what's going on, listeners.
Well, they didn't until we told them.
So here's what we're doing today. We're going to start with the news, then we're going to go off into the quiz. Let's go topical, our week in gaming, the new releases, and that's the show. Let's get going.
Okay. We have a lot of stuff out at GamesCon in Germany.
You know, the Germans always...
Damn it.
Wait.
No, they
don't. No, that joke was funny the first time. I want to say it again. Okay. You know, the Germans always make good stuff. And now you ask me, what's that from?
What's that from?
It's from the ShamWow commercials.
Okay.
All right, continue.
So, the first thing I have is more of a curiosity than anything else. Apparently, some of you may have wondered why both Oblivion and Fallout 3 had no ladders, even though ladders would have made sense in a lot of the places in both games. Apparently, ladders completely break the AI in that engine.
That's interesting. Why can't they handle ladders?
They always felt really bad about it.
okay, then.
All right,
so. I never really even noticed until you just said this.
I know, right? Well, I didn't either. Fine. They should have just kept their mouths shut.
I am yet to see a first-person game that handles ladders properly. Because you still have that weird thing where you can basically break your neck, turn all the way around, and still shoot someone who's down below you. But, yeah.
Yeah, and then every time you go down a ladder, you never know if the game's going to catch you properly or if you're just going to, like, walk off the edge and fall to your death.
Yeah. Given that Fallout 3 had a bug where there was one NPC who gave you a quest who could fall off a cliff and kill himself, ladders would probably be a bad idea.
I want to say Mirror's Edge did them okay, but I don't know if I'm just making that up. I can't really remember.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Moving on.
Okay. Sony's announced two new PlayStation SKUs. First, available now, 160GB PS3. And then to coincide with the launch of the PlayStation Move, there will be a 320GB bundle.
That's a lot of gigabytes.
Certainly is.
Man. All right, move on.
Well, you might want to use it for the PS Key, which is a USB firmware loader that's come out.
I don't even know what that means.
It lets you
sure to sound boring, though.
It lets you mod your console through the USB port with, like, a little thumb drive.
Cool.
You can install backups and everything.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Oh, wow. Let's move on.
All right. I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yep, you're wrong.
Okay. Microsoft has two big announcements for the PC crowd. First, they announced Age of Empires Online.
With kind of dumb cartoony graphics, I think. Come on.
Yeah.
That's not a series I would kind of... think of when I think of the whole new cartoony vibe that we've been getting from some series.
Yeah, especially AOE 2 had such grandeur to it.
Right, exactly. This series always kind of thrived on grandeur. This looks like it is lacking in that department.
Well, it is going to be like a free-to-play, freemium kind of deal.
Awesome.
They've claimed to not plan on nickel and diming its customers.
It's going to draw and quarter them instead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, what I like, though, is he said, like, a lot of these free-to-play games have you paying to do the stuff you don't like to do, and he sees that as stupid. So they're apparently working to not do that.
I bet their game will be stupid anyways.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know why, but I'm down on AOE Online.
That's too bad. I think
but I'm there.
It's weird, because it's like Age of Empires Online, but it's like a persistent world.
Right. At its very basic concept, I don't get it. Okay. I guess is my problem.
That's fair. They haven't announced much. Mm. They've announced even less about the next game, Microsoft Flight, which is presumably the next installment of the Flight Simulator series, but it's just called Flight. All we have is a teaser trailer of, like, flying over some water while a girl talks about dreaming of flying.
Yeah.
I guess that the word simulator is out of fashion now.
Well, it makes it sound complicated.
It's scary.
Well, it is complicated.
I know.
My dad won't be happy, because he plays Flight Simulator and denies violently that it's a game. And if it's just called Flight and it's under Games for Windows or whatever, then, yeah, he's going to be in trouble.
That's funny. He's wrong, you know.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. Good. The Wii is getting a tablet peripheral, courtesy of THQ, for their upcoming Draw Studio. It's basically a Wacom tablet that you slot the Wii remote into.
That sounds neat, I guess.
Can Photoshop Hero be far behind?
Is Mario Paint for the Wii coming soon, then?
Well, I mean, this is all THQ. They're also going to release Pictionary and some other kiddie game for it.
That's going to live or die based on software support, isn't it? If people are going to be actually interested in making games that support that. Whereas if it's just the stuff that's coming from THQ, then it's going to die a death quite quickly, I think.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, it seems like Wii developers are kind of short-minded when it comes to peripherals. I mean, how many games do we even see anymore that support the balance board or anything like that?
Mm-hmm.
Or the Wii Motion Plus. Zapper.
Let's see. Speaking of peripherals and third-party support, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1 for the Xbox 360 is getting Kinect support.
Don't you have to stand up to use the Kinect, though?
No.
You don't?
No.
I thought you did.
No.
I thought that was a big deal, and they said you
No,
did.
You can't lie down to use it.
You have to, like, just code it to recognize someone sitting down, just like one might have to code the A button to jump.
So what do you do, then?
In this game? I don't know. They haven't really said much about it. They had the two actors who play the Weasley brothers out on stage demoing it.
One of them's gonna die.
Spoilers. Why would you say that?
What?
Why would you say that? I might go cut that out.
Well, that's been out there for so long.
Doesn't matter. There's some
you
should have
seen how appalled AJ looked at me when I said that. AJ, this is coming from the guy who took 3 years to read Harry Potter 6. And, like, when he finally found out, like, that Snape killed Dumbledore, you were like, wow, no.
I found it out like a month after the book came out, okay?
That's not true. You're just lying.
It was at rehearsal
that's
for the...
That's lying. That was years after the book came out.
It was that year.
Nope.
You're a douche. Anyway, Mag is also getting move support.
nice segue. I like it.
Thank
you. You said Mag.
Yeah, I know.
Who plays Mag?
There's also a beta coming out for current Mag owners of some new content.
All two of them?
That's a problem with the game. I wonder if that game's even any good. I've never even played it, but, like, I just have no interest in buying into it at all.
Mag.
I think the people who are into it are pretty loyal to it. They say it's pretty good, but it's something
right.
that a lot of people just
don't. It seems like if you're not
play.
In, like, a hardcore clan, you're not going to be able to get any enjoyment out
of
it.
Yeah, pretty much.
We also then got a cinematic trailer for Dragon Age 2, along with a March 8th release date announcement.
Dragon Age 2 sure doesn't look anything like Dragon Age 1.
No.
Looks nothing like it. I'm still worried.
BioWare still gets a free pass from me until they screw something up.
I hate
up.
You and your free passes. You can go to hell with your... Oh, I did get a free pass because you're pretty cool. Shut up.
Shut up.
Pete, what do you think about Dragon Age 2?
I'm on the fence at the minute. I mean, yeah, it does look very different, but I mean, they've said they're specifically designing it for a console this time. That may or may not be a good thing. I didn't think Dragon Age 1 worked that badly on consoles, although I know a lot of people who played the PC version as well thought that was much better. But I like the idea of a Dragon Age game that's been designed properly for consoles. So I'm leaning on the side of optimistic for the moment, but we'll see.
See, I played Dragon Age on a console. I didn't have major problems with it.
No, I didn't either.
But whatever.
Okay.
Next.
Whatever. That's the final word from Mike Minotti. Insomniac announces not one, but two new games. First is the, we already knew about it, Resistance 3.
We'll talk about that more.
Okay. That's a let's go topical, I guess. They also announced Ratchet and Clank One for All, which is a four-player co-op Ratchet and Clank game where you play as Ratchet, Clank, Dr. Nefarious, and Captain Quark.
We'll also talk about that later.
Okay.
Moving on.
Indeed. Diablo 3 has a new feature announced, Artisans, which basically take the crafting out of your hand because they couldn't figure out why your hero who's saving the world from the devil would have a side job.
Okay, then.
It's basically crafting.
It's crafting.
Complex,
whatever.
But it's, you know, there.
Fair enough.
Portal 2 has a new February 9th release date, and they've announced Steven Merchant will be playing the Buddy Sphere.
What's Wheatley. His name?
Wheatley, yes.
I was also, apparently everybody hated Wheatley's old voice. I was okay with it.
It was just scratch dialogue by an animator at Valve for that trailer.
I almost kind of find that slightly hard to believe since they... Why would they release that trailer if it was just scratch dialogue?
Because they didn't have Steven Merchant recorded yet, but they hadn't contracted to.
Did they?
I don't know.
I don't know. I feel like maybe they thought they were going to keep it, and then everybody was said they didn't like it or whatever.
Mm, maybe.
Okay.
Pete, you're British. What did you think of the voice actor?
Well, I'm not sure. I think Steven Merchant's going to be a good choice for it, because he's got a lot of character to his voice. He's got quite a recognizable voice, particularly in this country anyway. I mean, is he particularly well-known in the States?
I don't know who
yes,
he is.
Yes, I mean, he'd be most well-known for being in extras.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we all know he worked in the British office, but wasn't really in it that much, and, you know, not as many people have seen that, but...
Yeah.
So I think people know of him, but aren't quite as familiar with his work,
yeah.
To be fair to say.
That probably sounds about right. He's very well known here for extras, his couple of roles in The Office, and Ricky Gervais's podcast as well.
Right.
He's one of the three regular cast members on that, so...
And okay, what's next?
And he does adverts for a bank as well.
Ah, cool.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay, Marvel vs. Capcom 3 gets two new characters. Beautiful Joe, which we all kind of knew was coming. Don't sit on that chair like that.
Why? Break it. It's fine.
And Dormammu?
I don't know. Some very obscure Marvel character I never even heard of.
Yeah.
Is he the one whose head's on fire?
I have no idea.
His head is on fire, yeah. So I'm assuming that is him.
I just feel like you were saying, when you got only like a roster of 30 whatever characters, maybe you don't want to go super obscure with it.
Yeah, I know. I mean, maybe Moon Knight's next.
I still want Phoenix Wright.
Not happening, Pete.
Well, it should. They should take out stupid flame-headed twat and put Phoenix Wright in.
I agree with you. I don't know what to say. I'm as furious as anyone. Don't worry.
Good. Make it happen with your influence.
Pete, you have more influence than I do, probably.
He's right. BioWare shocks the world by announcing Mass Effect 2 for the PlayStation 3 coming this January.
BioWare shocks the world because he's none other than the Shockmaster.
No one knows what that is.
Look it up, Shockmaster.
So
I'm playing with your tape now. Are you jealous?
They've been very cagey about the exact details of this, but. It sounds like it's going to include all the DLC that's been released thus far, because like I think you could get the Xbox version for like $30 or $40. So if this is $60, you'll at least get the DLC.
Yeah.
And they've hinted at there being some sort of playable prologue that helps like connect you to the events of Mass Effect 1, since Mass Effect 1 is not on the PS3.
Yeah.
At all. That's good. People should play that game because it's freaking awesome.
I've been making faces at AJ for the last 30 seconds.
I've been ignoring you.
But I don't understand this prologue thing, though. Like, is it going to be Mass Effect 1
in, like... 20 minutes.
It's 20 minutes? I think that'd be hilarious.
I was just wondering if they were going to take a similar approach to... Do you remember Shenmue 2 on the original Xbox, where they put in a DVD of just all the cutscenes from the original Shenmue?
Oh, yeah, I never saw it, but I heard of it.
Hmm.
I hope it's literally just, like, they take you to every moment where you have to make a choice. So it's like you play a game with, like, you have to, like, kill Rex or not, and then you have to decide to, you know, all this great stuff.
Right.
It's just like, no, spoilers again. Don't wave your hand at me.
Okay. They've announced the release date for Lord of the Rings Online going free to play. That's going to be September 10th.
Yeah, that's neat.
That's good.
You know, what else?
I like it. So, Valve, apparently, they've hired one of the original makers of the mod Defense of the Ancients, the popular Warcraft 3 mod. Then the guy who's the voice of Duke Nukem tweeted about having recorded at Valve for Dota, and then they tried to trademark Dota. So the presumption is there's a Source Engine version of Dota coming out at some point. Apparently, some of the original modders who are working at other companies, including companies that make games that are basically Dota...
Like Heroes of New Earth and League of Legends.
Yes. They're upset about this, trying to claim that, you know, Dota belongs to everybody and should not belong to one man. I don't think, like, if Valve gets this trademark, they're going to demand that, like, all Dota clients be deleted or anything like that.
Well, first off, you know, it's shocking that you've taken Valve's side on this situation. But
I want a new Dota game for Source that'll probably end up being free, like Alien Swarm.
I think that these guys are just upset that they didn't or weren't able to use the Dota name when it probably would have helped their product, but now Valve would or whatever. Well,
why
be able
didn't
to.
They? They made it. They could.
I don't know. Maybe there's some sort of legal problem with it. I don't know. I'd be surprised if Blizzard doesn't have something with that now. I don't know. I'm surprised Blizzard, by the way, never came in and took Dota.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's pretty popular. Like, pull a Counter-Strike, you know?
Yeah, they could have. They just didn't. Yeah. Let's see. What else I have? Supposedly, at Gamescom, the PSP2 is being shown behind closed doors.
Really? I never heard this.
Yeah. This was the big story today.
Oh. Well, why announce something behind closed doors?
They're not announcing it. People weren't supposed to say anything.
Well, yeah. How'd that work out for them?
Yeah. Well, according to the rumors, it's similar in form factor to a PSP 3000. Still uses physical media. But here's the one that just sounds weird to me. The back of the system is touch sensitive.
Why?
I don't know.
I don't get it.
I don't either.
So you Does it have it?
So you can like grab things from behind it? That's weird.
I guess.
So I can pet it?
Sure, why not?
If you want to, my guess.
I can pet my PSP too.
I guess so.
Connectables for PSP confirmed.
Yeah.
Does it have a second analog nub?
No word.
I mean, that's kind of the big thing.
Yeah.
How are the graphics? Did they say anything about that?
Mm-mm.
I don't. That sounds weird. I don't know.
A lot of people are expecting an announcement at Tokyo Game Show.
Tokyo. Yeah, sounds about right. When's that? Isn't that usually in August or is it September? Soon.
I don't know. Pete, do you know what it is?
I'm not sure. No, certainly Pete, around this time.
You're closer to Japan than we are on a
yes,
world.
Yes, therefore
map.
I know more about their release dates. Well done.
Well, he can get there without going on a boat.
What, agent?
I said he can get there without going on a boat.
You know what's funny? Whenever I look at the world map and like, I think, so if I was to fly to Japan, I had to go across all of Eurasia. But we would probably just go west to get there, wouldn't we?
Yeah. In fact, you would.
Yeah.
There's no problem.
That's crazy. That's crazy to me.
You cross the Meridian Prime and go into yesterday.
That probably wouldn't be nearly as long a flight as I'd imagine it would be then.
No, it's pretty long.
Well, how long is it?
I don't know.
I bet if you lived in California, it wouldn't be all that long.
You'd shave 5 hours off.
How long does it take to cross the Pacific Lake? Cross the lake. going back to it.
I'm going to move on. Good. The final story I have is an announcement from the Persona 3 and 4 team and the guys who worked on Nocturne. It's their first HD game. It is called Catherine, and it looks weird as shit.
Yeah. Lots of sheep.
Yeah, they had the trailer.
Maybe the sheep represent all of Atlas's fans.
I guess.
Shut up.
According to their official description, it's some kind of horror-themed game with a lot of weird kinky eroticism going on.
Boobs.
For example, in the magazine ad, it's a 3-page fold-out thing, and when you have it folded out, it is Catherine eating a piece of very gooey pizza, but when you fold it in, you just see the gooey cheese string coming off of her tongue. I'll leave it to you to imagine what that kind of looks like. Yeah.
I hope you're happy, Pete. I hope you're proud of what you love.
I'm very happy, thank you.
Yeah, it seems like all the Persona fans are, like, crapping their pants right now. Yeah. That's fine. I have to say, looking at the trailer, the real-time cell shading is by far the best I've seen.
Yeah,
it looks
really good, actually.
It looks better than the 2D hand-drawn cutscenes, actually.
I'm frightened by the prospect of an HD penis monster day.
It's coming.
Aren't we all?
Yeah.
All right, you guys ready for the quiz?
Yeah. I don't know, Pete, you're kind of the Persona guy here. Do you have any more to say about Catherine?
I watched the trailer earlier, and yeah, it looked really good. I agree with you on the cell shading thing. That does actually look better than the animated cutscenes now. I mean, it's difficult to tell how it's going to play just yet. They say it's going to be an action-adventure. But so people are saying they're hoping it's not going to be another Raido Kazunoa. But yeah, I'm excited about it, and not just for the boobs.
Which there probably will be.
Yeah, whatever.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mike?
It's strange that they're being more blatant with their eroticism, since the Persona games, at least to me, always had a lot of sort of
innuendo.
And yeah, kind of, you know. It was like sexy, but like it was like there was a lot of like sexiness going on, but none of the characters would ever admit it. Like you'd be walking around in a level that was like a strip club. It wasn't all that strange to them. Like there was a character who was probably gay, but no one said anything.
Right.
All right. Let's go. Quiz time. First question. What was the subtitle for the original Mafia?
Did it have one?
It did have one. It's not a trick question.
Okay. I had this game. I played this game. I don't know.
You had this one? Did you have
it? Yeah, I had it on the PC, like, when it first came out.
Oh.
It was, like, 8 discs.
Was it good?
Yeah, it was okay. I don't know. Pete, do you have any ideas or guesses?
I have no idea. My only guess is it's not some dumb, like, Life of Crime or something, is it?
No, it's The City of Lost Heaven.
Yeah. Oh.
Of course. Silly me.
Question two, what year was the game released?
This would have been like 2003.
2002.
Damn it.
Nah,
question three, who developed the game?
I don't know.
Shit, I have no idea on that one.
You guys need to brush up on your Mafia knowledge, apparently.
I guess.
Illusion Softworks.
Okay.
Illusion Softworks is now known as what? They're making Mafia 2.
Yeah, I know, and I played the demo, and I didn't pay attention to that.
2K is publishing the game.
Where are they located?
That's the trick, isn't it?
I don't know. 2K Chicago?
2K Czech.
Damn it.
They're Czech,
oh, that's
I guess.
Right. This is a European team.
Question five. 2K Games was created after Take-Two acquired what developer?
Visceral. No, wait. Visual Concepts. Is that? Hang on. Is that the guys who made like NFL 2K and everything?
He doesn't know about football games. Visual Concepts. Football involves kicking
things. I think it's Visual Concepts.
Yes, it is.
Visual Concepts.
All right, nice. Bonus question. How many football games? Now, Pete, that's American football. that's my favorite of all the English stereotypes. Like.
Mm-hmm.
Making fun of their football.
That's all right. Okay, I don't give a shit about football, American or English.
Good. How many football games did Visual Concepts create?
6.
Yes.
From 2K to 2K5.
You seem to... Okay, then. Let's go topical, everybody.
Let's.
All right. You got those last two. All right, first topic. We'll start with that, Jim.
Okay.
You still believe that Beyond Good and Evil 2 is a real game that will be released someday?
I know him. He said that they've been working on it. Work never stopped. And
I know. My question is, do you believe him?
Sure. Why would I not?
I don't know. This seems to be the fifth flip-flop I've heard on this.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's like the left hand not knowing what the right hand's doing. I do, and I hope so, because, you know, it sounds like they really want to get it right. It seems like their mindset is, yeah, the first Beyond Good and Evil, people liked it, but it didn't sell really well. But in the years since, like, it's people have become aware of it. So it has some mind share now, and they have the opportunity to do something really big with the sequel, and they really want to get that right.
Yeah.
Pete?
Yeah, I agree on that. I mean, Beyond Good and Evil is one of those sleepers that, yeah, it maybe didn't sell that much when it first came out, but it's a game that pretty much everyone knows the name of these days. And the fact you can get it so easily from places like Good Old Games and Steam now means that a lot more people have played it. So I'd be interested to hear how many it's sold now. Over its entire lifetime, and how many people have actually played that game now that it's much more of a phenomenon that people are aware of. And I think if you count all those people up, then yeah, there's definitely the demand there for a sequel. I certainly want to see one, so I'm probably biased in that, but yeah, I want to believe.
Pete.
Yes.
How much do you care about Resistance 3?
I do not care at all about Resistance 3. That's largely my own personal taste. I'm not a big fan of shooters anyway, but I've never played the previous two, and I don't really care at all.
AJ, how about you?
I don't care. I mean, if it's good, that's great. But I mean, I've always kind of liked the world concept of it, and the thought of like just crazy outlandish weapons, like three modes of fire. Like I've always said, it always felt like a PC shooter on a console, and so it never really worked. And plus, the thing you pointed out to me the other day is, like, this game's going to come out post-Killzone 3, and it's probably not going to look as good as Killzone 3, which I think is going to be a bit of a problem.
Here's another question. Do you guys even know anybody who, like, really likes Resistance?
No, it was one of those games that had the benefit of being a launch title when it first came out.
What about Resistance 2? I never played that, did you?
No.
No.
That's what, somebody must be buying these games. That's my point.
Yeah.
This is the third one.
Yeah.
There it is. All right. AJ. Ratchet and Clank, Free for All. Sounds like a cool concept.
It'll depend if it... The mechanics need to be modified to support it. Like, if it's just, like, literally take the existing Ratchet and Clank mechanics and put four people using them, I don't know how well that'll work. But if they actually come up with like some new team techniques and everything, which I think they will, it could be good. I saw it described in one preview as basically kind of like a new version of Gauntlet, which could be fun.
Interesting. Gauntlet didn't have any platforming.
Yeah, that'll be, and here's the other thing too. I hope it's not like one camera angle for everybody, a la like Fable 2 co-op. Like if you're playing online, I hope you get your own view. And the other problem I always have too with like every co-op game on PS3 is just people don't tend to have headsets on PS3. They have on Xbox, but not on PS3.
Pete.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm going to shamelessly steal a friend of mine's opinion for this that I happen to agree with. And he's been playing the Toy Story 3 game recently, both by himself and with his son. And he's been having a great time in both single player and in co-op mode as well. So I think the most important thing they need to get right is to make sure that it's a solid single player game as well as a multiplayer game. And that it's not clunky or forcing you to switch between characters all the time and that sort of thing. It needs to be a smooth experience for someone playing by themselves as well as in multiplayer as well. But I think it's a good idea, and I think the characters are certainly strong enough to make people want to play it together and see them interact with each other. So, yeah, I think it's a good thing. They've just got to be careful to get it right, I think.
Pete.
Yes.
Italian Americans have a right to be upset about Mafia 2.
I was reading this story earlier, actually. No, frankly, because, I mean, Mafia 2 is just the latest in a long line of things that follow that stereotype, and it's not supposed to be particularly realistic. It's quite exaggerated. It's that kind of thing. And if they're upset about Mafia 2 in particular, why aren't they upset about GTA? Why aren't they upset about Mafia movies? Why aren't they upset about Mafia Wars, which is shit? But... No, I think it's silly, and it's just, yeah, it's a silly argument from what I've seen of it so far anyway, so.
AJ, you actually are an Italian-American.
Yeah, I'm fine with it. I mean, here's the thing, kind of like what Pete said, if you're going to be upset about this, you have to be upset about The Godfather, Goodfellas, The Sopranos. You know, they're the same things. I mean, I'm sorry to say this, but by definition, the Mafia is a group of Italian Americans who participate in organized crime, and they weren't very good people, you know. And you know, like, yeah, the game's full of guys like, oh, what's the matter with you?
But here's the thing.
I mean, from my early childhood spent at my Italian grandfather's landscaping business with a bunch of old Italian men, that's kind of what they do.
Yeah,
you know, I'm sorry. It's not like it's maybe it's a bit stereotypical, but it's,
you know, I'm sorry, but
kind of the
as truth. An Italian American, I never felt like particularly prosecuted or persecuted. Excuse me. But, you know, like, excuse me. I writing major, English major, law. But you know what I mean. Like,
yeah,
like, what are we, like, what's, I never got a street, like, you no good mobster.
Yeah.
Get out of here with your pizza pie.
Yeah, you Goombas.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not stereotyping Italian-Americans, though, is it? It's stereotyping Mafia people. I mean, if they call the game Italian-American 2, then, yeah, maybe there'd be a problem. But that'd be like calling San Andreas Black Person. But
I can't see why they did do that.
Grand Theft Auto Black Person. I like it. But no, because they're not doing a racial stereotype. They're doing a stereotype of a group of people that is not a race. They're a group of people who've chosen that lifestyle. So... No, I think they can shut up.
And also, too, as the guy from 2K points out, they haven't played the game.
I like that they want that. They're like, we demand that you stop making the game and remove all references to Italians and Italian Americans. What would that even mean? I like to see that actually happen. Like, everyone just kind of, like, talks in, like, this very sort of, like, accentless voice. Everyone sounds like Cam Clark. <It'd be hilarious. laughs> Just get Kim Clark to do everybody's voice. Like, where's he from? I don't even know. Okay.
Exactly.
AJ, you will try Final Fantasy 14.
If there's a trial, sure. If there's like a 14-day trial, I'm not going to go spend 50 or 60 bucks on it. I'll tell you that right now. They've done nothing to convince me this is going to be even marginally different from Final Fantasy XI. Like, yeah, you don't level up, but you get these points that you accrue from experience that go onto your items, not you. Okay, sweet. So my items level up. That's actually worse sounding.
You know, that's like Final Fantasy IX, by the way.
Okay.
But anyways.
But yeah. And then here's the other thing, too. There's this whole back and forth. Will they, won't they have it on the Xbox? The PS3 version doesn't even come out till March. And maybe, yeah, they'll get it figured out so that they can release it in March on both platforms. If the game comes out in September on PC, who the hell is like, no, I'm waiting 7 more months so I could play it on my console?
The same thing happened with Final Fantasy XI. It came out on the PC well before it came out on the PS2.
Yeah, it was like several years in that case.
I don't know if it was... It was a long time. I don't know about several
years.
How
many people you know were playing Final Fantasy XI on their PS2?
Well, no, but the PS2... I don't know anybody who had an online-capable PS2.
Yeah.
Did you have to buy a hard drive?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a thing, right?
Yes.
I forgot that they existed.
Which they did not release for the PS2 Slim.
No. Pete.
I remember that being a big deal.
Yeah, I'm definitely interested. Having seen some gameplay footage, and I'm one of the few people who played and enjoyed Final Fantasy XI, despite not getting particularly far in it. So, yeah, I'm definitely interested in the new one. It looks like a lot of fun. The graphics are nice. The combat system looks interesting. And, yeah, I'm certainly interested in giving it a go, at least.
It certainly will be a very pretty-looking MMO.
Yeah,
I'll give it that.
I'll tell you one thing that I always liked about Final Fantasy XI that hopefully they're going to continue in 14, is that Final Fantasy XI was the first MMO that I tried where they actually made an effort with the story and with the game world. I know a lot of things have done it probably better since then, but the fact that there was an ongoing story with the missions and there were cutscenes and there were boss fights and that sort of thing, it made the whole thing a lot more interesting to me. They just fucked up the bits in between. We had to grind for 60 hours to gain one level. So as long as I can balance out that a bit better and keep the storytelling side of it and the kind of epic nature of it, it's going to be good, I think.
Okay. I just realized this next question is a question about Americans. So, Pete.
Yes.
Strong sales of Dragon Quest IX shows that Americans still have a hunger for traditional JRPGs.
Yes. Dragon Quest IX is it's probably the RPG that I've heard people getting most excited about for a long time. So, yeah, I think there's definitely a hunger for it. I haven't played it myself yet, so I can't speak for the game experience and how people are liking that. But there's a lot of friends I've got on Twitter who are getting really obsessive over it and playing it constantly. I think the fact that it's a handheld game is really helping it, because people are playing it on their commutes, they're playing it on their lunch breaks, they're playing it at quiet moments at work, and it's it means that people can play it all the time. So I think making it a handheld game is a really smart move from the look of things.
AJ?
I was going to bring up the handheld aspect of it too, because I mean, this is like the one reason this game has kind of appealed to me, but you've been keeping me away from it for my own good.
Yeah,
I mean, the fact that I can, whenever I've got a free moment, get out my DS and like grind for 20 minutes and be fine with that, and also the fact that at any time I want to, even during a cutscene, I can close the DS and it'll stop. I think those are two attractive things about it. It's also good too. I mean, it's got a lower price entry barrier and everything like that. But yeah, it serves the two masters, like the obsessive JRPG fans who would normally sit in front of their TV and grind for 10 hours can still do that. And the people who like that style of game but don't have the time for it, they can just play it in chunks and spurts, and I think it works well for that.
All right, that's it.
Okay.
Good job, everybody.
Cool.
We went very topical there.
Good.
Yes.
All right, let's talk about our week in gaming. Hey, Peter, are you still doing your Final Fantasy marathon?
I am, yeah. I've had a couple of days off because I got a bit distracted by Castlevania, but yeah, I am.
Where are you at in that?
I am still grinding around the elf village. I'm finding the crown for the king in Final Fantasy 1, so not that far, but getting there.
I just want you to know, I did mine in 6 months, so.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, so yeah. You know, if you want to be as cool as me.
Yeah, I definitely want to be as cool as you. Maybe even cooler. Yeah.
Let's not put the cart before the horse.
I've been playing KOTOR.
You came to visit me, and I have my original Xbox still hooked up. You're like, damn, I'm playing KOTOR. And I was like, oh, okay. You've been playing the shit out of KOTOR.
Because I've been wanting to play KOTOR forever. Knights of the Old Republic, by the way. I've been wanting to play forever, but first it wouldn't run on my PC. Like, it kept locking up during cutscenes and stuff. Then I tried it on the 360, and the backwards compatibility didn't work right. The music kept shutting off, and just other problem. So I'm like, I need an original Xbox, and I know AJ has one. So I'm here with AJ for like the week. So I took out the old Xbox, and now I've been going at it with KOTOR.
Nice.
So
is this the first time you played it then?
No, I played it back when it came out, but I was really bad at Western RPGs for a long time. I really didn't like get the hang of them. I think Fallout 3 kind of eased me into it. Mm. And then with Dragon Age, I really finally got gung-ho and beat a Western RPG. So like a lot of things that used to be very, very difficult for me in this game aren't nearly as bad anymore. Like plus I've actually played Dungeons and Dragons now.
Yeah.
So that helps out considerably. Like you know, I just generally have a better handle on all like everything going on here. Like what dexterity means and just stuff like that. So
I said I put it back on my computer too and I was playing it. It's remarkable when you play this, especially after coming off Mass Effect 2, how much BioWare's evolved, what they can do with the RPG.
Right. And it's not even like the graphics are obviously not that great anymore. But like the limited assets, like the fact that there are maybe 6 NPC models that are used over and over again throughout the entire game, that just like starts to get to you a little bit. But you know, I mean, still obviously it all works very well. You know, they've obviously learned a thing or two since then.
Still a great game though. I love
it.
It
is still a lot of fun. I wonder how like even 10 years from now though this is going to hold up compared to other things. It's kind of an interesting question. It's weird though because even if I beat this, I don't think I have any interest in playing KOTOR 2.
I don't either.
Just everything I hear, just like the fact, if you tell me the one problem with the game is that it doesn't have an ending, that's a big problem.
A problem, especially in an RPG.
Yeah. Like, that's one thing for a first-person shooter, like Halo 3 doesn't have an ending, but there's Halo 3 and whatever. Okay. But you know what I mean? But, yeah. I mean, like I said, I've been having some fun with it. I'm on Dantooine right now. I got my lightsaber. I'm rocking it.
Cool.
I'm a Jedi.
Well, yeah, in a similar vein, I just want to throw out real quick that after having finally beaten Mass Effect 2 and now wondering when the hell Mass Effect 3 is going to happen and having a lot of other games to play right now, what am I doing most of my time? Playing Mass Effect 2 with a different character.
Yeah, I don't know why you don't like...
I'm already like halfway through the game.
Why don't you try to beat StarCraft 2 or something?
I don't know. I can't stop playing Mass Effect. It's so good. And I'm actually, like, you know, I played before as a Paragon female shepherd, now I'm doing a Renegade male shepherd, and I'm actually amazed at, like, just how, in, like, not so much gameplay-wise it's different, but how... in my level of engagement, how different it feels. It's really cool. Although I found one kind of chink in that game's armor. You know how like you get those moments where either you can do like a Paragon or Renegade action or do nothing?
Yeah.
I feel like those would have been a lot stronger if they were like pick a Paragon or a Renegade action. You know what I mean?
You mean you don't want the neutral option?
Right, because as it is, there's nothing to stop you from doing all of them. It's not like you lose Renegade points by doing the Paragon option, because they just kind of stack on top of each other. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's not like a pendulum scale. They're just two bar graphs. I feel like now that I know that, you could kind of game the system, just do all of them, because usually you get something beneficial for doing them. So I feel like that was kind of a weakness.
Wait, so what, are you saying you want to play a character who just doesn't always do Renegade? I don't get it. I'm a little confused about your problem.
Like, every time that, like, you know, the Renegade icon pops up, I click it and I shoot some guy in the face and I get Renegade points.
Right.
But I don't, like, lose anything in my Paragon meter. Like, I could be playing, a full bar Paragon and then do one Renegade option, and it doesn't make me a not full bar Paragon anymore. I just get some Renegade points.
So you wish it was a single bar. Almost more like, wish that this was more like KOTOR in this instance.
Not even that. Just every choice should be Paragon or Renegade, so that you basically can't do all of them as both, you know what I mean?
I still don't understand.
You could max out Paragon and Renegade by those choices.
Okay.
But, like, if it was one or the other, you could only get one or the other, you know what I'm saying?
Are you saying, like, if you're Paragon, you should only be able to do Paragon?
No. What I'm
I still don't understand what you're saying.
Imagine, let me think of a metaphor here.
Okay, Pete, do you follow him?
Okay, I've got it.
I kind of see what he's saying, I think. I mean, I thought this was kind of the whole point of Mass Effect's morality system, right? It's like they didn't want a sliding scale like that. They wanted to give you the ability to be chaotic good, basically, where you could do a few Renegade actions and still be a Paragon overall or vice versa.
Yeah, I guess that's like the way of looking at it positively. And this isn't a huge deal breaker. Here's my metaphor, and this is a shaky one at best. Imagine
all the people. Living for today.
No. Okay. Okay. Here, I made the metaphor even better. Let's say, in addition to Red Lobster having the Cajun chicken pasta that you love so much, let's say there was a second item on the menu that you kind of liked.
Okay.
Okay. I don't know. Let's just say they had the best chicken fingers ever.
Cool.
But you never got those chicken fingers.
I think
fingers.
Neither of these options are fish at Red Lobster.
But you never get these chicken fingers because the Cajun chicken pasta is always there. So as it is, your Cajun chicken pasta meter is full, and the chicken finger meter has nothing. But
can we go to Red Lobster after this?
No, we're cooking dinner. We'll do it tomorrow.
Damn it.
But now, let's imagine that every time you went to Red Lobster, they only ever had one or the other on the menu. And it was completely random. So some days you'd go there, and there'd just be the Cajun chicken pasta. And some days, there'd just be the chicken fingers. So you're just going to get what they have. And as a result,
Wait. You're saying you want the game to not have both options at all times?
No, I want it to.
Doesn't it?
No, it doesn't.
No, the actions don't.
Your options are either order that food or don't eat.
Okay.
See what I'm saying now?
Sometimes the options are shoot the guy or don't shoot the guy, but there's not the good option.
Yeah, I mean, don't shoot the guy is the good option, but you don't get, like, Paragon points for it.
I get you.
Yes. Okay, see? There we go.
All right, we're finally there. Now I'm hungry, though.
All right.
Why aren't we going there tonight? You can't cook.
I'm grilling steaks.
I don't want steaks. I want Cajun chicken pasta.
Do you have that gift card? Did you even look?
No.
All you've had to do for the last 2 days was take your wallet out of your pocket and see if you had a gift card.
I have a cutting board in my hand.
Put it down.
Whee!
Put it down now, because I foresee it flying across my room and breaking something.
All right, what else you play, AJ?
Just for that, I'm going to talk about an iPhone game.
Oh, my God, no.
And Pete probably played it, too.
I could probably beat you with this. What, is it that game that came everyone's talking about? That
The Incident.
Yeah, that's the one.
Pete, you played this?
I haven't played it yet. It's one I want to pick up, though, definitely. My brother's been raving about it.
It's quite good. It's iPhone and iPad, and the way it works is, like, you're this guy. It's got, like, a kind of, like, 16-bit retro graphic look to it.
No, give that back to me.
Fine.
This is my board.
Anyway, the incident is just random shit starts falling from the sky. Don't really know why. And you see like a little white beam of light where something's going to fall. So you tilt the iPhone or iPad to make him move left and right. And you tap the screen to make him jump. But all this stuff, it's irregularly shaped. And it has physics. So like, you know, if it lands at an angle, it'll roll or whatever. So there's two things you have to do in this game. You have to keep jumping on top of the pile and not have stuff land on you, but you also have to be careful not have something roll in such a way that you get trapped in the pile. And, okay. I mean, it's really simple. It's like $2, but it's just really well done. It's really good.
Cool. I listened to everything you said. Can we talk about another game now?
Yes.
What did you think of Monday Night Combat?
Yeah, I played the demo for Monday Night Combat earlier today, just for a little bit, but I really, really like it.
We have to try the Lara Croft demo later.
Yeah, because I'm going to buy one of those, too, because I have $15 in points.
Well, if you got the Lara Croft one, we could actually play that together.
Yeah.
Not online.
Yeah, it's just local. Anyway.
I'm here, though.
Yeah, well.
Okay, only has local co-op?
I think so. Until
September the 15th, I think, when the PSN version comes out.
Yeah.
There's no live functionality in it until the PSN version's out.
That's cool. That's nice.
Yeah. But, Monday Night Combat. The game starts off with, like, a tutorial for the Assault class, and I don't know this, but I'm hoping there's tutorials for the other classes, because tutorials work really well. You know, it's a third-person shooter where you have each class gets three abilities mapped to X, Y, and B. And you have, like, two weapons per class. The aesthetic of the game has got kind of like a TF2 cartoony vibe. And also, like, the whole conceit is, like, it is like a sporting event, and you're playing as these clones. And there's this announcer in the game who's actually really, really funny. Just shouting, like, his catchphrase seems to be "Hi-O," which reminds me of Garnet Lee from Weekend Confirmed.
Don't plug other people's podcasts. Keep going.
Anyway, when you play in a multiplayer match, I played just a match of... You can play just, like, yourself against bots, a team of humans against a team of bots, or two teams of humans that have bots with them. And you're trying to destroy the other team's money ball. So I played the humans versus humans with bots. And it's great because just having these bots, it's kind of like a combination of a third-person shooter and a tower defense game. Because you can build up towers in your base, and these enemy bots just kind of march towards your base. And what that helps to do is it helps to fill out the battlefield, so the game feels bigger than it actually is.
Yeah, that's
and it just works really well. I mean, all the classes have really cool abilities. You get like these different melee takedowns and things that are really showy. It's just really good. It's especially for a $15 downloadable title. It's awesome.
Have you been picking a scab on your leg?
Maybe. I have a bug bite. It itches.
Yeah, I want to try it though later.
Yes. Yeah, I'm going to give it a go as well.
Yeah, it sounds like it might be my kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you think of the Mafia 2 demo?
Mafia 2 demo was
really... Were you offended?
No. I was like, oh yeah, it's the mob.
Look at you talking with your hand right now. I know. There go you.
I am. That's the fun. I'm doing it still. Jesus.
Stop it now.
God, now I'm aware of it.
I know. Where's your bowl of pasta?
Behind this.
Hey, don't you skimp out on the meatball, eh?
I cleaned my pizza pan the other day, actually. Oh, God. Anyway, Mafia 2.
Another Italian stereotype? Beating wives?
I guess.
Did you beat your wife?
I'm not married.
We could make these jokes because we are Italian-Americans. I'll
go drink some whiskey or something.
No, that's not... Wine. They do
that. Wine over there.
It's wine.
Well, Grandpa drank whiskey.
Yeah, well, Grandpa was a... drunk.
That's kind of what killed him. Anyway, let's get back on track.
God bless his soul.
Yes. Requiescat in pace. I know that from Assassin's Creed 2.
Yeah, that's great that the most you know of our language is from a goddamn video game.
I used Italian when I was in Italy. I
you know, not all Italians all were assassins. Okay, Ubisoft, I am offended.
Oh, God. Anyway, Mafia 2. The open world part of the game, it's your pretty standard open world fare. Get in a car, drive around, shoot cops. Interestingly, you can't run over civilians. They'll always get out of the way. So, yeah, that's nice. The demo has one mission in it, and the missions, you know, it kind of becomes a third-person shooter, but a good one. Because that's usually where these open world games are really weak in their shooting mechanics.
See, that's the thing. Like, now that Red Dead Redemption has had good shooting mechanics, and yeah, Mafia 2 has good shooting mechanics now.
Yeah, maybe they finally cracked that nut.
Right. And it always kind of bothered me, like, especially in the old Grand Theft Auto games. 4 was slightly better, but... Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, this one features you, like, the demo mission has you going through, like, a burning liquor warehouse. You know, the cover mechanic works really well. And what I like about it, it has a lot of stuff going on. Like, you know, everything's blowing up, and it's real cinematic and scripted like that. You know, so, yeah, it works really, really well. And also, like, being set in, like, the 40s, 50s, they have great music for the game. Like, when you're driving around, just, like, you know, it sets the tone nicely. And also, I know this is kind of a thing they're making a big deal of, especially in the PC version, because it uses physics. But the cloth simulation they have for, like, the long trench coats and everything is actually really good, which I feel like was kind of important because, you know, that's what they wore.
I remember playing the demo at PAX, and the physics looked really good. Like, there was that sequence where you had to shoot up that diner or something in that demo, and there was there were, like, shooting signs off and bits were falling off the building and that sort of thing, and it didn't look scripted. It looked like each bit of the building was being physically modeled. That looked really good, I thought.
Yeah, even, like, in this demo, too, when you're going through the distillery, like, you're shooting, like, it's almost like the Matrix lobby scene where you're shooting cement off the columns and everything.
Yeah.
Works very well.
You just compare it to that old Matrix game?
No, the Matrix lobby scene.
Oh.
Just the physics, that's all.
Okay,
cool. I think that's all I played. Did you play anything else, Mike? Oh, no, I lied. I played the Valkyria Chronicles 2 demo for PSP.
How was that?
I was very impressed by it, actually.
Amazing how many games you've been able to play this week without buying anything.
I know, right? It's a frugal gamer. What I like about it, I don't think the console one does. Correct me if I'm wrong. I didn't play much of it.
I own the console one. I haven't played it yet.
Yeah, I know.
How am I going to correct you?
Did you play it, Pete?
No.
Okay. I don't think... Okay, so full
disclaimer.
We're
just going to take your word for it.
I don't think the console one did this, but... you get kind of like a very kind of basic looking overhead map of the battle, and then you can see everything from there, and you could give basic orders like retreat back to like a friendly camp or something like that. But then until you click on a guy, then you go down to like the third person battlefield view and then take control over them. It just kind of helps to keep things a bit more organized, I think, and actually it works really well. And, you know, by virtue of the way this game works, where like as you move, you start doing an AP gauge, and you get one shot, and while you're lining up your shot, like, nothing's happening. You know, it works on a PSP, because you're not trying to treat it like it's a dual analog stick game without a second analog stick. It also looks really good. I mean, it's basically the same engine from PS3, just with lower poly models, but because they're cel-shaded, it's hard to tell. So yeah, I actually was very impressed by it.
Cool. Mm-hmm. To answer your question before, I don't think I've played anything besides KOTOR.
Pete, how about you?
How about you, Pete?
I've not played a lot of things, to be honest. I've been playing a bit of Castlevania HD in multiplayer.
You freaking love
that
game.
I need to play that with you, because I have it, and I definitely see how it could be a lot of fun on multiplayer. I just need to play it with somebody.
I really like it, actually. I mean, the thing that struck me about it is, no, it's not like Symphony of the Night and all that sort of thing. The closest thing I can describe it to, really, is it's more like something like Diablo or running Warcraft dungeons or something like that, in that the content may stay the same or very similar each time, but you're loot whoring and you're playing with other people and you're experimenting with combinations of characters and trying to do things quicker and more efficiently and so on.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I've had a lot of fun just trying to get up the leaderboards, like completing the levels quicker and trying to score more points or trying to do it without taking any damage and that sort of thing. So yeah, I've really enjoyed it, and I find it quite a satisfying game. I know that a lot of people have slagged it off and said that it's not particularly good, but I've found a lot to like in it recently, and it's definitely fun in multiplayer, certainly.
I need to try it like that, totally.
Yeah, well, hit me up sometime and we'll give it a go, definitely. The other thing I've been doing is, having seen the recent Guild Wars 2 trailers, I reinstalled the old Guild Wars games, because I've...
Yeah, me too. After a week of emails and things.
It's, I've got all of them, but I haven't finished any of them, so I thought...
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I thought it was time to actually give them a go, because they are really, really solid games, I think. And I think they take an interesting twist on the MMO kind of thing.
Those things were basically Diablo as an MMO, right?
I'd say it's probably closer to something like Phantasy Star Online than Diablo.
Because it was like... The towns were persistent lobbies, basically. Then anytime you went into the world, it became instanced.
Right.
It was just you and your party.
Yeah.
Which worked really well.
Mm.
Now, I guess Guild Wars 2 is going to actually be a full-blown persistent MMO. Still okay. No monthly fees, which is cool.
That's cool.
But, yeah, listen to this runaround I had to have to get my account back. Because I saw you playing it. And I was I'm going to play Guild Wars.
Yeah.
So I downloaded the client, and I go to log in, and I couldn't quite remember my password. Because I knew NCSoft had some weird rule with the password, so I couldn't use my usual one. So I was able to get into my NC Play account and reset the password there. Well, now I guess their new security measure is they want you to put in the name of one of your characters.
Yeah, I had that problem. I was like, shit, what did I call him?
Yeah, and of course, this game also requires you to put in a last name.
Yeah.
So I had no friggin' idea. So I'm trying to guess. Then it's telling me, there's a problem with your account, contact support. So I'm like, sweet. So I send them the email, and I explain the email. I'm like, look, I haven't played this game in 3 years. I don't remember any of my character names. How do I get into my account? And they're like, oh, actually, your account was hacked by gold farmers. Oh, of course it was. So they're like, so this is what we need from you. We need the address you registered when you had the game, all three of your CD keys, your phone number. I like to send this guy an email back. I'm like, look, since I've last played this game, I've lived in four different places. I've had two different cell phone numbers, and I bought these games when they came out 5 years ago. I don't know where these CD keys are. Seriously, this is your answer to me? And finally, he just, after going back and forth, this guy explained, look, I have no idea where these are. He just emailed me, a very quick email. Said, one of your characters is named whatever. And I punched in and it worked. And I had a bunch of level 20 characters all of a sudden that I did not have before.
Yeah, nice.
Is that the max? Level 20?
That's the max.
Cool. Yeah. I don't think I played Guild Wars very much.
I tried to get you into it. You never took the bait.
No. When did it come out? Was it post-WoW?
No, I think it was right around WoW.
Yeah, it was around the same sort of period, so there were a lot of comparisons. Yeah. When it's a very, very different game to WoW.
Because you only get 8 abilities any one time, so it's almost like having a deck of cards.
Yeah.
Picking the right 8 abilities.
And you can also you can also reassign your stats at any point as well. So anytime you're back in a town, you can reset all your stats and completely respec your character.
Yeah, for free.
Oh, cool. Maybe I'll try it. I mean, how much does it cost now?
It's probably pretty cheap now. There's a 14-day trial as well. You can play it for 14 days or 10 hours for free.
Maybe I'll do that.
And it's on Steam. I never did get the Eye of the North expansion because that was only for level 20 characters. I never got that far. Mm.
Cool.
Yeah, again, I've got that, but I've never got far enough. I think I've got one level 20 character that got through factions, which was really quick to level up through. I've been surprised at how good that game still looks. It's still a remarkably pretty-looking game, and it's Some games from that sort of time period haven't aged all that well, but I think Guild Wars still looks really good. It's got some nice scenery. It's got reasonable character models. They finally added lip syncing to the cutscenes.
Yeah, that was a nice thing when the third expansion came out. I was like, oh, good, they moved their mouths.
But yeah, it's a good solid game. It's good fun, and it's a game you can play solo as well. So if you don't fancy partying with like random people, you can just hire these NPC henchmen or the heroes in the other campaigns. And yeah, you can play it as a single player game if you want to. I mean, you might think that's kind of missing the point, but they've built particularly the third campaign around the idea of having you and these customizable hero characters as well. So yeah, it's a nice game in that you can play it how you want to. And that doesn't have to involve other people if you don't want to.
All right. You guys ready for the releases?
Yeah, go for it.
Yep.
All right. So Canyon Lynch 2 Dog Days is out for PC, PS3, and 360.
It seems like a lot of people actually have good things to say about this
GameSpot
game.
GameSpot still gave it a 6.5.
Uh-oh.
I wonder if someone else got fired this time.
Well, the site's not covered in ads for it, is it?
No.
I've heard it's had pretty... it's had a pretty broad range of scores from what I've seen. It's had some really low ones, some really high ones, but most of them are around the middling mark from what I've seen so far.
Yeah, it sounds like the biggest kudos people give it is sound design.
Mm.
Okay. Sound design a good game does not make.
Can't help it.
Unless you're Luminous or something. All right, Lara Croft and the Guardian of Light came out on 360. Ys 7 for PSP. I guess there's 7 of those.
Mm-hmm.
City of Heroes Going Rogue. That's the first major expansion for City of Heroes since City of Villains. It's like a third alignment rogue, you know? I don't really know what that really means.
Probably like a vigilante kind of guy.
Right. Is EverQuest 2 Extended the free-to-play version? That come out this week?
I guess.
Okay.
I didn't know it was out.
Golden Gym, Dance Workout. All right.
Awesome.
Oh, Gold's Gym. Excuse me. Hidden Mysteries, Vampire Secrets for the DS. And we'll end right there because they just get worse from there, folks. So.
Yes.
Oh, geez. All right. I guess that's the show.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thanks for listening, everybody. I think that was a very well-done show, Pete.
Thank you very much. And very you well did. Done to you, too.
Yes, you did. Good job. Good job, Pete.
Thanks.
I don't know why I'm being so condescending.
I don't either.
Thanks. You tried really hard.
Hey, didn't a new Squadcast come out?
It
Tell
did.
Us about that.
Yes, the official first episode of Season 2 of the Squadcast is now up online as well. So... we've changed the format a bit for those of you who haven't listened for a while or at all before. So it's more accessible to new listeners. It's not focused on individual games anymore. We focus it on topics instead. So any episode now will be a good jumping on point for anyone who wants to get involved in the discussions. And talking of those discussions, you can pay the Squadron of Shame Squawk Box a visit at squadronofshame.wordpress.com as well.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. You can find more about us, the Exploding Barrel Podcast, at explodingbarrel.wordpress.com. Or you can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/explodingbarrel. You can also find us on the iTunes Music Store and the Zune Marketplace. I have to keep saying that.
Yes, and stop laughing. People have Zune.
I don't think
like
they do.
People.
Chris Whittington's got a Zune.
All right. Fine. I'm sorry, Chris. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next time right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.